Clay Shooters. It's that time again.
These guys aren't just anybody. They're good.
It's time for the Dead Pair Podcast with Jason Rambo.
Does your brain hear what your mouth is saying?
And Sean Alley.
He's large and in charge.
Here to bring you all things sporting clays, from the ins and outs, tips and tricks, news and gossip from pro shooters, service and industry specialists, coaches, clubs, and more.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
Welcome, everyone, to the Dead Pair Podcast.
Yeah, energized by KO Ammo Game Board US.
You're darn skippy.
What's going on, Mr. Alley?
Wishing we were living somewhere else, right?
Yeah, frosty 13 degrees this morning and all that white crap on the ground. So.
Well,
hey,
but,
everyone. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but you know, the nice thing about it is we always get this time of year and we always, you know, complain about the weather, but it's a good time to actually take a step back and start looking into 2022 and start planning our shoots for this year, right?
I'd rather just be outside shooting.
Well, I'm not arguing that point, but if you're going to have to spend time indoors, you might as well check the gear, go through your plans, figure out where you're going to go shoot for the year. I mean, there's a lot of things to map out for the year, don't you think, buddy?
Yeah, and I think we're talking to the right man here in just a minute to help us with that.
Yeah, one of them.
Yes,
one of the right men.
We're going to have Ben McNally on the show. He is president of the Texas Sporting Clays Association. Got some interesting information for us.
Yeah, lots of stuff, and both you and I have been looking abroad. I know we're going to the Jack Links tournament. I know we're going to the U.S. Open this year. I believe you're definitely confirmed for the Nationals. I'm still kind of on the fence if I'm going to go this year or not. But for everybody else out there, you know, start looking at those calendars, start looking at the events, and get scheduled because a lot of these things fill up really fast.
Yeah, we've got some cool shoots coming up here, too. We're going to talk to some club owners about these shoots and some of the organizers. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yep, absolutely.
So, hey, listen, let's get to Ben. We got some segments we're going to do, and then we've got some really good questions for you guys, the listeners, and we'd like you to submit them to us. So we'll touch on that afterwards, but let's get Ben on the phone.
All right, on the phone, Ben McNally. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Other than freezing, we're just fine.
Yeah.
We're just fine. Well,
it's,
Ben.
It's cold here in Texas as well.
Define cold.
Because it was 80 for Christmas. 27, you know, at the morning, 40 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I think I'd still be wearing flannel at that point, but it's like 15. It's like 15 here right now.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, all right, so listen, you're the president of the Texas Sporting Clays Association. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got the position, how you got into sporting clays. Give us a little background on who Ben McNally is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I, like I've heard so many people on your podcast say, you know, kind of grew up in a little bit of a hunting and outdoors family. I mean, it wasn't all the time. And the two or three trips that I got to go on with dads and uncles and grandfathers, which just wasn't enough pulling the trigger. And so one time I went to a sporting clays charity function with my dad. And so, you know, shot as much in an hour and a half as I did the entire dove season. And so, oh, you mean we can do this again and again and again? And so, And so, you know, and we all showed up with our hunting guns and, you know, and you don't know any better and they're simple targets. And so as you expand your horizons, our little gun club there, Abilene Clay Sports, a little nonprofit gun club, but for a small town, it's got two courses, a Halice ring, some trap field, some skeet field. It's kind of a diamond in the rough. So a little shout out for Abilene Clay Sports there, but two charity shoots a year turned into five, turned into, wow, you mean it gets bigger and better than this? And so I think I shot my first NSBA target in 2012, probably. And just through some local club involvement, getting more and more involved there, eventually found myself on the board of that club, kind of making some decisions, setting some policy. And then I found out that there were bigger organizations like the state and the nationals that got me interested in, at the time, for better or for worse, there just wasn't anybody from the west side of Texas, you know, lots of Dallas and Austin and Houston. So I thought, So I'll raise my hand and volunteer so that everybody out west doesn't get overlooked. And it doesn't really work that way. They were very nice, very considerate. But, you know, if you volunteer enough times and you have enough decent ideas, you accidentally find yourself the president of the Texas State Board of Association.
Well, I'm to understand you're going through kind of an election cycle right now, correct?
Yeah, we are. So our half of our board turns over pretty much every year. So 12 members, and then the every registered shooter in Texas got an email probably in the last couple of days about it, and ballots should go out sometime in the spring, and then we announce all that at our Texas State Championship, which is always in the second quarter, late spring, early summer, depends on location, weather, et cetera. But so the board turns over, and it's all volunteer. It's people who love the sport, want to help it grow. Sometimes there's somebody with a range affiliation. Sometimes there's somebody with maybe a professional affiliation, but lots of club shooters who just want to help and put on cool events.
That's nice. Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about shooting as a whole in Texas. Obviously the state's huge, right? So you guys are going to have a lot of shooters down there.
37 clubs.
Wow.
Well, and Texas, let's face it. Texas has got a rep. Let's just call it a rep. But there's a lot of people down there that like firearms. So let's just leave it at that.
Yes. I like it.
My joke is that I'm a far better collector of shotguns than I am shooter. And so, yeah, we love our guns and we love our gun clubs. Yeah. Like I mentioned, 37 clubs who throw registered events. And even more of it just promote Sporting Clays and have charities and corporates, or they're private. I'm just going off the, you know, we do kind of a fantasy football draft with that many clubs. And honestly, there's only about 45 good weekends in the year. Right. And so with that many clubs, the TSCA tries to facilitate, you know, some fair play and not too many stepping on toes. And we don't referee, we just facilitate the ranges and how they set their days. And so if you like to shoot, you can find something every weekend in Texas that isn't probably Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Well, that's what I was just going to say is, you know, you guys have kind of become a mecca for Sporting Clays down there. I mean, you mentioned, what'd you say, 47 good weeks of the year to shoot? I mean, try coming up here and you get about 20.
So,
maybe 30 on a good year.
But, you know, between the population and the amount of good weather you have down there, when it's not 120 degrees in the shade, there is a lot of opportunity for growth there, right?
Yes. Yes, there is. My favorite part is, you know, taking somebody out to a small club for the first time so that they can experience registered Sporting Clays. And then when you see that twinkle in their eye, then you load them up and you take them to Dallas Gun Club or to Greater Houston or to the National Complex. And they get to see what, you know, quite frankly, we have a major shoot every other weekend in Texas. The rest of the world just has to deal with a regional every once in a while. So we're pretty fortunate.
Gotcha. Well, Ben, as the president of the Texas Sporting Clays Association, I'm sure you've got your finger on the pulse of most of the local clubs, and I'm sure you hear a lot of feedback from them. I think one of the big things that's been concerning most registered shooters has been the ammo situation. Obviously, the lack of ammo, the price of ammo.
Sure.
Are you hearing from the club owners or the managers? Is this starting to affect any of the turnout or the numbers that are coming out for tournaments?
I think that's a hot button topic, but as of yet, I haven't seen too many people turned away. If you're an ammo buyer that just cruises the shelf of your local big box store, you know, you're probably going to struggle, but I would highly recommend going to your local club, maybe getting involved, you know, becoming part of that community. And there's always somebody there who, you know, maybe the club has a relationship. Maybe there's an ammo distributor who's at that club that knows how and how to get your hands on, or they know how to get some volume. And so there's a few people in Texas. I definitely spread the love personally with some of my shotgun and shotgun shell purchases. I'm a collector. And my experience has been that maybe they're not going to sell you the massive volume. They want to make sure that they can keep the most people shooting they can. So, in a word, I would go to your local club or go to an event and just visit with people, and they'll figure out how to get you 4 or 5 flats. And now if you're used to buying 50 flats, they'll probably, you might get those 50. They're just going to come in lots of 5 and 10, you know, right. You guys probably heard the same thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of the big things that everybody's been talking about, and we're all wondering how it's going to affect the 2022 season as well.
Yeah. And the TSCA frankly has absolutely nothing to do with it. Just as a interested party and a concerned shooter, you know, that's just been what we do at my local club. And that's definitely what I see happening at clubs that I visit. And so I try to encourage everybody, hey, it's there. If you need an introduction, I'll make you a few introductions, but I also try not to, you know, play too many favorites. I try to send everybody to as many good dealers as I can. Cause like you said, Texas, we have a lot.
Right.
Right.
Well, Ben, I mean, aside from the ammo, and we'll try as hard as we can to leave politics out of it, but what are some of the challenges for growth that you guys face?
You know, sometimes we just, if you look at WinScore and Score Chaser on a regular basis, there might be 4 shoots you want to go to in one weekend, and they're all 3 or 4 hours opposite directions each other. And so if you're a glutton for punishment like me and a couple of my buddies, you know, we might hit one on a Saturday and one on a Sunday. But frankly, there's so many good shoots. I find the pool diluted a little bit, and that's great for the clubs. But sometimes shooters don't know where to turn or where to go next. And so, you know, one of the things that we're working on is to try to promote a lot of these small and mid-sized clubs, right? The old thing, you know, the rich get richer. Well, you know, frankly, in a major metropolitan area, those clubs, you know, they don't necessarily struggle with attendance. And so myself and a couple other directors kind of oversee, we've got a small club grant program that the TSCA does where, hey, if you're a small gun club, you can apply for a grant, and it's not all the money in the world, but you know, if you need a couple new shooting cages or you need a couple new benches, you know, we want to give back to clubs and shooters. And, you know, we've come up with ways, you know, the Texas State Championship is the third largest shoot behind Nationals, the U.S. Open. It's bigger than all the regionals. And so we recognize that 37 clubs, only about 3 or 4 of them can physically host that event. So we're coming up with cool new ways to encourage shooters to go to, you know, medium and small size clubs and trying to return shooter capital. You guys probably know this, but shooters might not. Whenever you register for a Sporting Clays event, a few pennies of every target go to the National Association, and typically 1 or 2 pennies go to your local state organization. Well, in Texas, that's a cent. So every time you pull the trigger, 1/100 of a penny went to the TSCA. Well, that's what we use to put on these programs, these events, our Hall of Fame banquets, a state shoot. It doesn't outright pay for all of it, but it's definitely how we subsidize. And I take that very seriously, that every target I pay for or you guys pay for ends up at the TSCA in some level. And it's our job to make sure that we're returning that capital to shooters through programs, events, and recognition. Gotcha. And so that's not lost on me and my board. And we try to make sure that we're not taking money from 100% and only giving it back to 10%. We definitely try to take care of everybody.
So with all that being said, what can the shooters do to get more involved and help with the growth and help these clubs?
Yeah, I would encourage someone to start out kind of the way I did. You know, your local club probably has, whether it's for profit or like mine was, not for profit. Not for profit's probably easier. They desperately need your help and your volunteerism and going out and moving a machine or going out and stacking targets before their charity shoots that are going to help them pay their bills all year so that they can have registered shoots. And so I got involved with volunteerism. If you're part of a bigger club, I think participating in the events, going to the social events, getting to know folks. I mean, I listened to you guys' report about Nationals, how nice, there's 2,000 people there and all of them want to be your best friend, right? I mean, in general, Sporting Clays is full of a bunch of nice people and a few crabby ones. And so getting involved, and I feel like when you have the pulse of your local Sporting Clays community, that's a perfect time for you to reach out to myself or maybe someone, other TSCA director, and say, hey, I'm interested in getting involved on the state level. You know, how do we take this to the next level? What does it take to put on a big event? What does it take to, you know, you can't please all the people all the time, but what does it take to hopefully make a big group of Sporting Clays shooters, you know, return them a good product and put a smile on their face. So,
right.
Well, that's a good point too, Ben, because I mean, Jason and I will, I'll butt in here real quick, but you know, our eyes were pretty much opened when we went to the AFS championship at the Browning facility.
Well, that was the invitational.
Or the invitational, I'm sorry, the invitational. But the point of it is that, you know, we pretty much worked hands-on with everything that went on. I mean, as far as dragging traps around, clearing land, loading traps, moving trash cans. I mean, there is scoring the tournament. There is so much going on, and as a shooter, you kind of see that stuff going on to a degree, but you don't really pay it a lot of attention. And I think if more shooters were to actually volunteer for some of these events, and again, I know it's not always something that everybody can do, but I think it would give a lot of shooters a lot of appreciation for the amount of work that these clubs actually go through to put on an event, and also, more importantly, to make a really great event happen. I just think as shooters overall, I'm not trying to paint anybody as a bad picture, but you see a little bit of grumbling here and there, like, oh, this trap was not throwing the targets well, or oh, this scorekeeper wasn't really paying attention to, you know, and missed a bird that I broke or whatever. So you hear some grumbling always now and then, and I guess I think, in my opinion, people would have a bigger heart and a bigger understanding.
Absolutely. You know, our Texas is, again, our state championship's so big that obviously, for better or for worse, it's my opinion it's for the better, but, you know, some people say, man, you mean state's at San Antonio and Nationals is at San Antonio? Like, let's mix it up. Let's see different venues. And I completely agree, but nobody does it like the San Antonio venue does. And I think people vote with their feet, right? Our biggest attendance numbers are in San Antonio,
right?
Because they've got the infrastructure, and you take some of that for granted. Travis Mears at Defender Clay Sports Ranch is hosting the 2022 state championship. So for 2021, Travis and I were in San Antonio a day or so early, and we're popping into some of the maintenance meetings with, you know, Neil Chadwick and his amazing crew down there. And, you know, if you'll show up to a maintenance meeting and listen to Neil go down what it takes, go down the list on what it takes to put 14 awesome courses together and all the different things. And he's delegated. And, you know, when you show up with your hat in hand and a couple cases of Miller Lite, all of a sudden, you know, they want to integrate you in, and you get to see behind the scenes, and you get to see what it takes to make the world go around.
Well, and, you know, mentioning the Nationals, which most of the serious shooters know all about it, and it's a huge event. You've got some other really big shoots coming up this year. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
We do. There's three specifically that I'd like to highlight. The Texas State Sporting Clays Championship, which, like I said, behind Nationals and U.S. Open, it's the third largest attendance sporting clays shoot. Registered sporting clay shoot in the U.S. It's going to be April 27th through May 1st at Defender Clay Sports Ranch, which is over here on the south side of Fort Worth. Travis Mears, who longtime shooter, I know for a lot of years he was doing some trick shooting, a PSCA guy, a really accomplished collegiate shooter. He's the owner operator out there, and Travis knows what he's doing. I mean, he's set some world-class targets on a monthly basis, and I want to say they have a footprint at that ranch that is knocking on several hundred acres, if not almost 1,000. And we will have some events that are on some properties that no one's ever been on. And so we're really looking forward to that. So it's live on WinScore now. I think there's high fours to low 500s sign up at this point. And, you know, Texas State's typically going to go between 700 and 900 people. So still looking for a few more people to sign up this spring, but we're really confident that this is going to be one of the biggest, coolest, best, and it's at a brand new venue. So super proud of that one. Next, again, I think I mentioned this, that we like to promote some of the mid-sized clubs that can't just throw a 900 person state shoot. And so last year it was an experimental program, and we partnered with Julie Clark at Austin Gun Club, about 40 minutes north of Austin, Texas. And she hosted the first ever Texas State Super Sporting Championship. So Julie took a huge bet on us and really took her club to another level to pull that off. But we're going back there in August. That shoot should be live on Score Chaser any day. And as a super sporting main event, a 200 bird super sporting main event.
Wow.
And then a bunch of the side events are going to lean hard into that super sporting. I don't mean to overpromise and underdeliver, but the rumor is even a couple of the sub gauge courses will be super sporting sub gauge. And so if you love that super sport vibe and being able to mix up a few targets, some singles, some reports and some trues on one set, that's going to be an event that you want to go to. And going forward, the goal is to move that around to some of those clubs that are in that mid tier that can put on an amazing shoot and have a great shooter base, but they're just not ready to have 1,000 people come, you know, ruin their weekend with a state championship. And then last but not least, on that same breath, you know, the national, the big tour that the NSCA puts on with the regionals and the opens and the nationals, that tour has caught fire and everybody loves going to the tour stop. And so we're trying to kick off the Texas State Championship Tour. So we've divided the state into north, south, and west, and we reached out, found a club, a medium to small size club, again, probably not ready to host that state super sport or that state championship. But rather than go in and have them do something that they're not prepared for, we just want to partner with them on their main event. And our only ask is that they set big championship style targets on that main event, and that they, you know, make sure that their staff has everything just as good as possible. You know, we asked for trappers on the main. And then what the state is going to do is we're going to step in and have some added money for class payouts, all the classes. So not just champ, runner up, master, but first in class all the way down through E. And we're going to lean hard into that and promote that. So our, just like the national tour encompasses the nationals, the U.S. Open, and the regionals, we've got a region. We've got three regions in Texas, and so there'll be one shoot in each region. And going forward, our goal is to mix that around and have that at different clubs so that all the clubs can benefit from the TSCA helping to promote their event and to help promote the payouts at their event, hoping that catches a lot of people's attention. And so the state super sport and the state championship will both be included in that championship tour. So, you know, the if you have the high average at the end of the year for the best 4 out of 5 tour stops, you know, the trophies and the recognition are going to happen at our Hall of Fame banquet that's at the state tournament every year. So if you shoot in the Texas State Championship Tour 2022, the payouts go with the events. And like I said, TSCA is adding money to that. So if you win your class, you're used to getting a check for X, but you're going to get a check for X plus one. And when we're trying, we approved a budget, about $2,000, a little less, to add to each of these regional events to promote people to go to those. And so, like I said, at the end, we'll recognize the overall winners and we'll do some trophy presentation and things we have a Hall of Fame banquet every spring, that's sponsored by our partners at Zoli. So the awesome. Zoli Hall of Fame banquet is going to be a place that you're going to want to be, especially in 22, especially in 23. I was actually remiss. Our first event is in March at Fossil Point. I think you guys probably know David and Miriam Niederer up, they're north of Fort Worth, and they have an amazing facility, beautiful terrain, probably some of the best terrain that you can shoot on in Texas. Of course, in the tour stop in April is at Defender for the state championship. July is going to be in Abilene Clay Sports. Probably on their big prairie main course. They've got all new Pro-Matics and all new long range. So should be a good set out there. August is the Super Sport at Austin Gun Club. And then November, we're really proud to go down to Westside in Katy with Dan and Lori Daniels. They've hosted some state tournaments in the past, but like I said, that event's kind of outgrown their footprint. And so we're really proud to partner with them. They know how to throw a good shoot, and we're proud to bring a TSCA event back to Westside. So a little plug for each of those, but a big shout out to all those range owners and boards who partnered with us to get this off the ground in 2022.
Nice. So are any of your events, do you know if they're going to have any American Field Sporting events, side events or main events to go with those?
Yeah. Funny you ask. So Mark Baltazar, that you guys know really well, and I have been squatted together over time and have started at big events and have started talking about it. I asked Mark, and I've also asked the folks in San Antonio that when the state championship goes back there, that we strongly consider AFS. The TSCA board, contrary to popular belief, is not in the business of running people's gun clubs and dictating what they have to do. And so we usually make some polite suggestions. You know, Travis, this is his first state shoot at Defender, and he's got a bunch of good events lined out. I don't think we quite had the space of the machines, and forgive me, Travis, if I'm speaking out of turn, but I there won't be AFS at this spring state. But when we go back to San Antonio in 23, I've been working with them, and because I think it's a great game, and I think people want to pull the trigger. They want to get out there and shoot their guns, and you know, another 12 gauge event that they can get out and break a few more clays at. Frankly, it's good for the range. It's good for the TSCA. It's good for the NSCA. So I'm all for it. So more to come.
Gotcha. Well, you were telling us earlier a little bit about some of the sponsors that are helping these shoots. Would you like to give those guys a shout out?
Yeah, I'll circle back with you on the Zoli Hall of Fame. Jason, Jenny, Norbert, the folks at Zoli have been a longtime sponsor of the Hall of Fame banquet. They actually partner with us on a gun. Now, there is a little bit of money involved. It's not free and clear just to the TSCA, but man, they help us a ton. And we raffle that gun off to completely cover the cost of our Hall of Fame banquet. And so nice. We're really proud to partner with them. We've got a beautiful case color case hardened Z gun that's raffle tickets should be live any day now as we sell those getting into the state event. So thank you to those guys for the Hall of Fame support. And then the main event at this year's Texas State is going to be sponsored by Cesar Guarini. Cesar Guarini, Fab Arm, Fiocchi, Mech, White Flyer, Briley, Cedar Gap Wealth Management, Defender Outdoors, and the TSCA are all the big title sponsors for the Texas State Sporting Clays Championship. And then for some of the giveaway guns that we give away at state, which we give away a lot of guns, like you guys joke, Texans, a free gun, sign me up, right? we've had a long-time relationship with a few vendors, and we're in year two of working with Blazer. And so we are literally giving away Blazers at TSCA events. And so Yim and the crew at Blazer have worked with us. Again, TSCA has some equity in those, but they treat us right, and they want to make sure that we're giving away good quality stuff to our patrons. And so big thank you to Blazer as they partner with us, not only at state, but at the Texas State Super Sport. So I think I've covered everybody. Man, it's a blessing to have that many good vendors, gun companies, patrons in Texas that are looking to help make these events bigger and better every year.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, let me ask one last question if I could.
Sure.
I know we talked about growth in the sport, and this is probably a no-brainer question, but I'm sure you've seen a big, huge uptick in youth shooting.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you seeing a lot of that based off of SCTP, or is it like all the organizations like the Boy Scouts and FHA or FFA and all that kind of stuff?
You know, I I see a lot of all of them of Texas. There's beating a dead horse, right? There's just so many good opportunities to shoot clays. I've had friends who their kids have been through the 4-H program. I've had friends who their kids have been through the SCTP programs. It's always neat to see just so many youth, you know, the sub junior and junior concurrent at TSCA events are always super full. There are now even some select youth shooting teams, and a lot of these gun clubs have a youth select team where, you know, your young man or young woman can come try out and get on a travel team. And just like you play select baseball or peewee football or something. I mean, it is really integrated. So, I know there's a lot of shoots that lean into scholarship opportunities. The rodeo sales shoots that occur all over the state pay out tens of thousands of dollars. And so I love that. And I'm a big proponent of it.
Yeah. Right. Well, Ben, that's been awesome talking to you, man. I mean, definitely Texas has got a lot going on. If shooters want to find out more information, why don't you plug your website there so they can find out more?
Absolutely. So the state association website is txclays.com. And there you can find links to our board of director meetings. They happen once a month. You know, we encourage people to log in, register, listen in, especially if you're interested in being on the board. And like you guys mentioned, we're in a nomination cycle. And so, you know, we've got a few open board spots and you know, we're not scared of somebody who's relatively new to the sport becoming involved and jumping on the board. Our big ask is that if you're going to jump in with both feet. You know, we've got lots of projects and lots of things ways to get involved. So if you're going to be on the board, you know, come with a smile, come ready to work and come ready to shoot some sporting plays. And then last but not least, our spring nominations for Hall of Fame recipients are open. And on our website, you can download the form to nominate somebody who you feel like belongs in the Texas State Sporting Clays Hall of Fame. And then our website does link to every shoot in Texas, regardless of what scoring software it may or may not be on. I know if you look at one and you forget to look at the other, you might think that there's not a shoot this weekend, but go to txclays.com and every shoot in the state that's registered and ready for you to participate in is there.
Awesome. Well, Ben, seriously, man, appreciate it 100% you spending some time with us. This has got some really good information out to people. They can pick and choose which shoot they want to go to in Texas, right? I mean, it's huge.
Absolutely. If you ever have a question about what's going on in Texas, send an email, president@txclays.com. And as the president, not only do we lead the board of directors, but we're, you know, the biggest advocate for clay shooting, for registered clay shooting in Texas. And so if you need some help, I'll point you in the right direction. I love putting people together. I love recommending gun clubs. I love, you know, partnering folks together when they've got a cool idea on a new event. So glad to be a resource and glad to be a resource for you guys. And for you other 49 states out there, come to Texas. We would love to show you a good time, some big targets, and, you know, a healthy piece of meat. You know, whether that's steak or barbecue, we'll feed you right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Ben, thank you again very much. We'll be, I'm sure we'll be talking to you real soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you guys for all that you do. I've been a listener since day one and appreciate just getting to hear everybody else's perspective. So thank you for the opportunity and keep promoting sporting clays.
Our pleasure, man. Thank you very much. We look forward to talking to you again.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll see you, Ben. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break for these segments from our sponsors.
All right, for this Bear Pelt segment, we are on the phone with Ted Deppe. Ted, how you doing, bud?
Doing great. How about y'all?
We're good. Yeah, Ted, we didn't we meet down at the Nationals over some jambalaya?
Yes, we did. Yes, up there at Dwight Lumpkin's pad.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely we did.
Yeah, I love Doug and Dwight. Great guys.
Hey, yep. Ted, yep. Tell everybody where you're from.
So I live in Annapolis, Maryland, but just outside of Annapolis, but it's easier to say Annapolis, Maryland.
How long have you been shooting?
Well, I shot for a few years back early in the 90s, and then I laid off of it for a while. I had problems with my eyes, and I just got back into it. I've been shooting back now for about a year, year and a half.
So, Ted, okay. What class do you shoot in?
I shoot in C class right now. I'm a couple punches away from B class.
Awesome.
Nice. So, Ted, where did you first hear about bear pelt vests, or I guess where did you find out that you had to get one?
I was hanging at the game board tent at the Southeast Regionals with Dwight and Doug and those guys, and Heather was set up right next to him, and we just started talking, and I was like, I was blown away by the real lightweight, what they call their competition light, you know, because it's awesome. It's like you don't even have a vest on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What about, how long have you had the vest now? How long have you been shooting with it?
Which one?
You got more than one.
Like four or five of them.
Oh, nice. That seems to be a common trend with a lot of bear pelt users.
Yeah. I'm working on two more.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Two more designs. I'm coming up, and my wife has one, and my kids will soon have them too. We're just getting our kids into shooting.
Gotcha. Well, what's some of your favorite features of the vest now that you've had some time to shoot with them?
Well, like I said, it's lightweight. I like the competition light because, you know, here in Maryland and Texas and Florida, it's hot and humid. And, you know, the heavier wool vests, you know, they're just you take it off and you look like you ran a marathon.
Yeah.
You know, you've only had it on for an hour.
Yep.
But I also like the fact that they have the heavier vest, you know, the regular competition, which is great. Now I shoot in that. I have a new Maryland one that I'm getting ready to unveil that Trevor Shanahan and I were talking about doing.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Hey, when you get that vest, make sure you post a picture of it. I don't know if you're on Facebook or not, but post a picture of
it. There'll be one up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, post a picture of it on our Facebook group page. I'd like to see that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow. I'm going to practice tomorrow. So I'm going to unveil it tomorrow. I'll get a bunch of pictures of it and send them out.
Cool.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, Ted, thank you for spending a few minutes with us. One last question before we go. If someone's on the fence about buying a vest for whatever reason, a bear pelt vest, what would you say to them to kind of steer them, go ahead and get the vest?
Get it. Yeah, I've said that to everybody. I've said it to everybody. I've let people try my vest on. I get a lot of questions about it. You know, when I'm around, people are like, hey, how do you like that bear pelt? How do you like it? I'm like, here, try it on. You tell me. And I mean, they're like, I'm getting one. I know I sold at least probably half a dozen or so of them just by letting people try them on.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the best thing. I mean, it's by far.
The product speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Listen, this was probably the biggest thing to hit Sporting Clays in a couple of years. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it really is because the versatility, the you can get it in different weights. You can get basically anything you want on it. I've designed a couple of them with Heather there's just so many things about it that it's game changer.
Right.
Yep.
I agree.
Well, I tell you what, you're among a bunch of people that feel the same way, me and Jason included with that. We love our bear pelt vests, and I'm going to test you on your knowledge. So, hey, as they say at Bear Pelt,
it's not your vest, it's your new uniform.
There you go. You got it.
There you go. Well, Ted, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us. Look forward to catching up with you soon here to shoot, and I want to check out that new vest when it comes out, man. I'm anxious to see the pictures.
All right, I'll have the pictures out tomorrow. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Maryland faded flag.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Thanks again, Ted. We appreciate you spending a few minutes.
Yeah, thanks for
with
coming
us.
On the show, Ted.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, for this RE Rangers segment, we have Alec Sedlacek. What's up, Alec?
Hey, not much. How you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good. So, Alec, have you been a Ranger user long, or is this your first pair?
This is my first pair. I actually started on a set of Oakleys.
Okay, gotcha. And what did you wind up with?
I ended up with the Ranger RE Reacts, the Falcon Pro frame, and I do not have a prescription.
Well, let's back up a second, Alec, that Mr. Alley over here is jumping the gun. Tell us a little bit about you. Where are you from? What class do you shoot? What gun do you shoot?
Oh yeah. So I'm from Los Angeles, California, specifically Palos Verdes. If anyone knows where that is, not many people do. From there, I'm masterclass. I shoot a Blazer F3. Was that your three questions?
Yeah. So okay, yeah. Now you're a student of Chad Roberts.
Yes, sir.
Breakpoint shooting instruction.
Yes, sir. He's been my coach since day one. I thank him for everything, every opportunity I have in this game. He's brought me to be the shooter I am today.
That's awesome. Well, Rad Chad's a hell of a coach, and obviously he's made, you know, one heck of a student in you. I know you've been shooting really well. So back to what Sean was getting to. So you were originally with Oakley's, and I'm sure you had a little bit of influence from Mr. Rad Chad to get you a pair of Rangers. But you started off with the original lenses, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And then you tried the new Reacts.
That is correct. So I started off on the original lens. Well, I'll go back even further. I started off on the Oakleys back when Chad used to be sponsored by them. And, you know, I had no clue what I was doing in this game. So Chad helped me out and said, yeah, this is what I shoot. Try these out. And they worked pretty good for a while. I can't complain about them. Can't say anything negative about them. They were fine for what they did. But when I got into my first set of actual shooting glasses, which was the original Rangers, there was just a night and day difference. And those lenses were fantastic. And I'm going, this is awesome. There's so much more pop to the target and this and that. And I can really see the clarity out of, you know, where the target's coming from. And everything was great when I first switched.
Yeah.
About a year in, you know, I started traveling more and going, man, it's really hard for me to see these targets in the forest, Chad. And I have some blue-green color blindness, and, you know, I can't really see that target coming out of the trees, or I can't see that target when that orange target hits the blue sky. Granted, I don't think anybody can. I think that's one of the harder targets to look at.
Yes, for sure.
but I sat there, just, I can't see anything on that target. You know, I could make it work, but it really was a struggle. So he's like, hey, they're coming out with a new lens. Maybe check them out. I did. I bought my pair retail. And what I noticed initially, and obviously Chad kind of helped explain this to me, but what I noticed initially is I went to Chad right away and I go, Chad, there's no pop to the target anymore. He goes, yeah, that's what they're supposed to do. And I'm sitting there going, well, why not? And he goes, well, your eyes adjust to that pop over about an hour, 2 hours of time. So when we're at the Nationals and we're shooting all day, that pop goes away. And when that pop goes away, you can't see the target as well. So what I loved about these Reacts is that there is no initial pop, but it just kind of dulls the background so that the target stands out. It's not a pop, but it's just more clarity.
Gotcha.
More depth of field, kind of cuts through that haze of looking through a tree line rather than above a tree line. You know how you get that nice outline along a skyline?
Yeah.
You really can see through that tree line versus just the, you know, here's where the tree line ends, and then you're looking through all that dense brush, branch, whatever it may be.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think my experience about the same. I got the exact same lenses that you do, Alec, and really like them. I switched from a different brand to these, and I did on the other ones, like you said, there was more pop to the target. But yeah, if you're in a long shooting situation, I can see where your brain would kind of turn that off after a while. But I've been very happy with mine. So yeah, my sentiments mirror yours.
So how long have you had the Reacts now, Alec?
It'd be close to, I want to say, 4 or 5 months.
Gotcha. And, you know, they do come with a little bit heftier price tag than the regular lenses, but if somebody's kind of on the fence, man, I really don't know if I want to spend that kind of money on glasses, what would you have to say to them?
What I'd say is this. If you're looking at getting a set of shooting glasses that you're going to use for years, it's a one-time investment kind of thing with these lenses. Yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more up front, you know, but at the same time, I saw it and I'm going, for the set that I got of three lenses, I think was close to 900 retail, somewhere around there. I'm going to pay that much for a single lens of Pila's.
Right.
To just get it out of the box, and not calling Pila out, because I know they make great lenses too. But for the cost point, you get three lenses that'll go light, medium, or dark, which will cover any type of shooting you want to do throughout the day.
Right.
Whether you're high light, medium light, or low light. And you've got your bases covered, where, you know, like I said, with Pila, you're getting one lens, one frame at, I believe, that price point. And then from there, you know, you're spending another $500, which is half the cost of this full set on another lens, from what I have heard and understand.
Very well said. Well, Alec, listen, man, seriously, appreciate you coming on and talking to us about your experience with the Rangers, and look forward to seeing you out on the battlefield soon, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, guys. I'll see you guys at the next shoot.
All right, bud.
See you, Alec.
Take care, guys.
Those are some cool segments, aren't they, Sean?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, man, that was a ton of information for any Texas shooters from Ben.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're looking to shoot in the great state of Texas, there's a
lot going on.
Hey, so that brings up something, Sean, I'd like to touch base on real quick. And this is where I said something in the beginning of the show. Any of you listeners that have questions about clubs, or maybe your local club, you're frustrated because they don't throw a fee task, or they don't throw an AFS shoot, or maybe you've got some ideas for a shoot, man, send us an email, because we'd like to ask these questions. We're going to have a bunch of club owners coming on.
Right.
And a bunch of people talking about shoots, a bunch of promoters and stuff. So we could throw these questions out there. We could throw out, maybe you've got an idea for something new.
Or it's just something that you don't like at your club. I mean, again, not picking on anybody, but, you know, do they have enough traps? Are they changing the trap targets frequently enough?
Throughout the week, you mean?
Yeah, throughout the week, like every week they're changing traps like they should be. Is the ground staying cleaned and picked up? Are the trails easy to access or walk on? Are they flooded all the time? I mean, you know, these are things that club owners need to know and understand. And as shooters, obviously, you can go and directly gripe to the person, but you know what? These are things that everybody needs to know. Maybe we can kind of communicate that with some of the clubs that are coming on.
Yeah, maybe we'll even throw up a poll on our Dead Pair public group page on Facebook.
Yeah, like maybe some of the big things that you would like to see at a club or see improved at your club.
Absolutely, and there may or may not be somebody that I do or do not know that might be interested in opening a training facility in Florida. Maybe that would interest somebody. I don't know. You know, so
maybe. Maybe.
You know, any investors out there? Anyway, so another thing too, guys, please give us a like or a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast outlet. And then thank you very much to Negrini, Atlas Traps, KL Ambo, Game Boar US, RE Ranger, Rhino Chokes, Bear Pelt, Odo Pro, and White Flyer. Yeah,
absolutely. And take somebody out shooting, work on your fundamentals during these winter months, and we'll see you next time here.
Wait, what? One last thing.
Okay, one last thing.
We've announced to everybody we're going to start doing some video stuff.
That's right.
Make sure you go to our YouTube channel and subscribe, because we are going to have some videos coming out in supplement of a podcast once a month. We're going to have some videos.
Absolutely.
You're going to get to see these pros live and in person. You're going to get some of your questions for the coaches answered on video, and we're going to do some shoot coverage, some interviews. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah. 'Cause it'll be good stuff coming out for 2022 from the Dead Pair Podcast.
And go ahead, Sean.
All right. And next time you will see us here on the Dead Pair Podcast.